Sometimes people, well, a person probably once asked, "Pastor, how do you know what to preach on each Sunday? How do you pick the scripture and that sort of thing?" Maybe one, because not that many people are always that interested in what pastors do. But we here at this church, Methodism a lot, and in the world of Christianity, over time developed kind of a schedule for reading and for the church encountering scriptures, kind of getting through the Bible, not word for word, but making sure that we're not skipping over the difficult sections, that sort of thing. Anyway, the term for this is called the lectionary. And actually, each day there are readings, but every Sunday there are a gospel reading and an epistle reading, Old Testament, and a psalm. We usually do one scripture reading, but all of those are available. And as a pastor, I might pick to preach on any or all of them. But it's about a three-year cycle. So one year you're in Matthew, the next year Luke, Mark, and then John gets woven into a whole lot of that. All that is to say is that if you've been around the last couple weeks, some of the scriptures that we encounter are really challenging, heavy scriptures. Times when Jesus is just uncovering parts of our life that we don't want to talk about, places where it's difficult, even in a lifetime of study, even with theological training, to get at the heart of the good news. How do you bring forward something that at one point is convicting, but at the same moment there's goodness to it? How do you share that? And that's what we try to do as preachers. But then there are days like today, where the lectionary brings this just breath of fresh air. Not that all of Scripture isn't wonderful and it is right and good for teaching and moving us, but today's Scripture is one of those that just fits so beautifully with our hearts and with the music and the essence of how we, I think, want to feel about being persons of faith. It's a passage that is powerful and encouraging and probably familiar to all of you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's something we can all kind of get our mind around. Wait a minute, heavy burdens and weary, we know what those feelings are like, and I'll give you rest. That sounds like a promise that is got some future to it. And he goes on, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and your soul will find rest." So not only is there burden and heavy burdens and weariness, and we'll find rest, but this learning and following, there's a rest for our soul, which is an even deeper, powerful calling. And he says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now the church, scripture scholars will rightly say that at the heart of this passage, it's about Jesus in the midst of God's people who are really suffering under a burden of their religion. If you kind of think back to what we've heard in our Sunday schools and growing up, and we're familiar with the idea of the law, that some of the teachers as Jesus was confronting them and sort of separating himself, those teachers might have come to the conclusion and shared that really, in order to be holy, it's such a hard thing to be someone of God, that it requires work, and there are rules. And by the time Jesus is there with his people, there's like 600 plus rules that they're supposed to follow. And some purported that the idea was you need to follow all of the rules, and the more rules, the better. And they even gave the impression that if you didn't follow all of these rules and walk the line perfectly, that God would be angry with you. Right? So God would be angry. What a difficult place to think, but we sort of still do it. I am bad, and God is mad. And that's a tough place. It's a heavy place to come. And this is where God's people were. And Jesus had a different opinion. He shared that maybe holiness, to be holy, isn't as hard of work as some would make it out to be. Maybe in the midst of grace and love, there was something more powerful in connecting in the way that God wants to connect with us and the way that we live in God's world. And he shared that, the good news. And he said, you know, take my yoke upon your shoulders. Learn from me. Learn from my teaching. And the scholars would rightly say that this idea of a yoke, you know, we think in terms of like animals being like oxen with something connects and they pull heavy burdens. That indeed is a yoke. But there's also an understanding in this time that the yoke was a person's teaching, that a rabbi would have a set of teachings, a way to say, this is how we live our life. If you study with me, we'll follow this path, not unlike today. And Jesus said, take my yoke, take my teachings upon you. You'll find rest. My burden is good, or my yoke is good and my burden is light. So that, in one context, is exactly, I think, spot on. And one of those places that really works for us and is important to hear about, you know, taking on Jesus' yoke, what would the rest mean, is that in our lives, we know that there are weighty things upon us that are of our own doing. There are issues in our life that indeed God not only is the only one who could save us, but the one who did. There's the challenge of our own salvation, and Jesus has come to say, look, I've taken that off of you. You don't have to work and earn your place with me. That's gone. I've paid that price. There's the grief and the uncertainty and the regrets that we have in our life when we've sinned, when we've moved away from God, when we've created difficult things for people. All of the that there's forgiveness for us, and God has given that forgiveness. That in seeking to follow God and to live into this teaching, Jesus goes, I've made it clear that you will fail. When you fail, you're forgiven. There's no residuals. There's no carrying over. So these kind of burdens have been lifted off of us. And one would say if you're going to take on Jesus' teaching, you have to sort of take off the teaching that was in place. And I think that's right. So let go of these things that we try so hard. There are other parts of it, like our own egos. And our need to be right and our chasing after things in the world that will never satisfy us. And our sense that it's never enough, there's not enough that we can have, that we can accomplish. Our sense of being birthed into a place where we have superiority over other people, or thinking that we could sit in judgment of them, or finding the need to help another or to love another person inconvenient or somehow a sacrifice. There are burdens that seem like blessings, the richness of things that we have, and Jesus might say, you need to lay that aside, because that seems wonderful, and it can be, but it's also a burden if it keeps you from helping another person. So these are all spiritual gifts. These are parts of the way that we live our life. These are burdens that are part of our soul, even if we spoke to just the greed that is in our life. That's something that we do need to lay down. And we can lay down at Jesus' feet that he's made an opening. He's taken away the need for that to be our source of being. He's lifted sin from our lives so that in grace we're justified. That's beautiful. And it's a right and good thing to learn from Jesus how to do that. But I think there's another level of this that's good for us to think about. And when it comes to my mind, it reminds me of, well, of draft horses. My dad, I've told you in the past, born in 1918, grew up farming with horses and steam engines. And he had talked many stories about two of his horses, Bob and Ned, and plowing the fields and doing the work. And horses give all sorts of amazing stories. And I grew up with this really amazing love of, like, these creatures are amazing. And he'd take me to the county fair where there were horse pulling competitions. Anybody ever seen a horse pulling? You don't pull the horse pulls weight, right? Not very good at the horse pulling competition, but the horse is pulling, and they would compete in teams, usually two, hitched together, pulling weight a certain distance, and they would compete and try to pull more weight and more weight until one team had pulled the most weight, the furthest distance, that sort of thing. Big draft horses. And the place to watch those competitions are right at the fence, as close as you can get, because there's mud flying. There's this power of these great beasts, and they're ready to compete. Like any kind of NCAA championship, these horses know why they're there. And they're trained, and you can just see in their eyes they want to compete. It's overwhelming how amazing it is to see these wonderful animals exceeding because they're together in a team. And that's the interesting thing about horses. To some degree, a horse, these draft horses, can pull a huge amount of weight by themselves. And if you put two together, you'd say, well, that seems good because they could pull maybe twice as much. If one could pull 1,000 pounds and you put two of them together, they should be able to pull 2,000 pounds. But here's what's amazing about this. It's not just that two together can pull 2,000 pounds. It's more than one could do by themselves. They, when working in a team, can pull up to four times what they each could do together. So one horse could pull 1,000. Put two good horses together, they could do 8,000 pounds. They can do four times what they could do in their individual weights, even together. You see the multiplication? That as they work as a team, their energy and their power is like multiplied exponentially. And that's what makes me think about this passage and something that I think is so important for us. Because there are these burdens that we do lay down at Jesus' feet, and we embrace the work and the saving work and the grace that is in our lives. And that's part of what we come together and celebrate. But there's a danger, and I think the church has become sort of like the church that Jesus faced up there with all these rules, is we sometimes think we should lump all burdens of life into something that we lay at Jesus' feet for him to take away. So there are burdens that we create and that are in our souls and all of that work. But life has burdens. And again, amen, life has challenges. There are things in our life that we didn't create that are difficult. There are parts of our lives that go on through the whole life that is work. There are relationships and there are good and bad things. There are obstacles, there are difficulties. There are things outside our control that affect us. And they can be heavy and they're real burdens. And in some sense, religion, sometimes very misplaced, we might say, oh, here's a difficult time. Just lay it at Jesus' feet and you should be fine. Why are you downcast? You're taking care of a special needs child and aging parents. Buck up, smile, Jesus loves you. What a heavy, horrible burden to put on someone. In the midst of the reality of challenges in life, things that we don't just step into and step out of it, encompass our whole life, these are real. And they're not issues of, am I a faithful person or not? And religion sometimes wants to say, oh, just turn it over. But we're not allowed or even called to give those up. Christianity is not a religion that teaches that God just takes away everything that's difficult and doesn't give any challenges and just zips away. Sometimes there are miraculous healings. Sometimes there are changes in our situation which, thanks be to God, are lifted. But that's not the promise that we have in the gospel. There's nowhere that says that God won't. What God does say is that he'll be with us in the midst of them. And I think the good news of this passage is, how is it that God is in the midst of us? Is it just to make us feel good? Or is there a real power in there? Is there a real hope? Is there burdens that when we're truly weary, when we need rest not only for our physical selves but our spiritual selves, that there is something going on? Not in those places of trying to be a better person, but in the work of life as God is sanctifying and growing us. And I say, yes, there is. Yes, there is hope. But we need to acknowledge some of the burdens that are there. I mentioned aging parents. There are persons here in this group who are facing chronic illnesses. No one gets to just walk away from that. It's heavy and it's real. It's a heavy burden. We've dealt with relationships that have their ups and downs and challenges and separations in families and kids. Those are real burdens, and even if we've moved to another place, we don't leave the history of that. Yes, we're given forgiveness. Yes, we're allowed to become persons who forgive, but it doesn't take away the experience that we had. It can be heavy. There are people shooting people in our world. There are refugees by the millions trying to survive each day. There's terrorists. There's news that unsettles us. There's difficulties. These are real burdens. Would you say, yes, these are heavy things that exist in our world that don't have anything to do with whether I'm a faithful person or not, or whether I believe in Jesus? These things exist and they're real in our lives. And not all of them even have to be sad to be heavy. Raising children, working through life, working in a vocation, seeking to be a person who connects, these are all realities that can have weight to them. And they require our energy and our presence and their successes and failures. All of that can be heavy. And we know, I want some rest. Sometimes we take vacations. And we know that doesn't fully restore us, right? There are persons who are victims of abuse. There are persons who are victims of crime that while they can say, I'm moving forward, can't leave the pain and the heaviness. And we say, God, why did you let that happen? And instead of recognizing that it is still a burden, God, how do we go forward from here with these? So if there's a yoke that, yes, Jesus can give us his teaching, and that we embrace and allow the sin and the threat of death, all of that to be lifted off, what if this yoke is also Jesus being yoked with us, to us, moving forward through life? Like the draft horses that I described. Well, yes, we have Jesus walks with us in the garden, which is fine. God is always present with us. But what if we embraced what Jesus says and says, when you put the yoke on you, you're yoking yourself to me, and we're pulling together through these difficult places, through the joys as well, but also through the heavy work. That this life that we live together that teaches us, how horrible would it be for God to simply not allow us to grow into the faith that we've been given? It's like doing everything for your kids and never letting them grow any muscles and have failure. How do you become resilient? Well, we go through life and we live life, and it's a gift, and it has great and difficult and wonderful and sad things all together. But Jesus says, you can be yoked beside me and we'll pull together. I dare say this will almost be heresy, because Footprints in the Sand is an amazing little poem. You know, there were two sets, and then I saw one set, and Jesus, did you leave me? He says, no, I carried you. And that sounds wonderful, but I think it's wrong. I think there are always two sets of footprints, and one set gets really deep because Jesus pulls a lot more weight than we'll ever know. But he allows us to go through the difficult things, never abandoning us, never letting us get stalled, never letting us get stuck, because he will continue to pull, but he teaches us to pull with him so that we grow and so that we come to know what it means to be in relationship with God, to discover what's really inside us when we're called children of God, to be understanding what it means to be connected and dwelt with a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit physically dwelling within our bodies, to have a soul. How does our soul find rest? When it discovers that it's not alone. Not just God watching, but God working with us, strengthening us, pulling us forward. This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus yoked with us becomes so powerful for us. Imagine, if you will, in your life, to recognize that in difficult situations, how is it that we find hope? How is it that do we just magically decide that we're going to make it through it? What gives us some sort of energy and purpose? Is it just whimsical because we're really smart people? Or is it possible that our connection with Christ dwelling with us pulls us through, and we take the next step and the next step and the next step, never having to carry it all on our own, because we could never even begin to. But we try to carry it by ourselves. And Jesus says, come to me. See those words? Come to me. I know it's heavy. Come to me. That death in your family overwhelmed you. You don't know why that happened. Why was it this difficult situation? Why did the cancer come? Yes, all of those. I don't know. But Jesus says, we're going to get through this together, and I will give you unbelievable power that we will share to move forward. And as a brother and sister in Christ, to be able to walk into a difficult situation, one that just pushes every button in your body to say, that's wrong. And you can walk in and not say, it's just God's plan. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Or some other horrible thing. You can say, I don't know. But I do know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifest in Jesus Christ is dwelling with us and is walking through it. I'm going to walk with you because he's helping me walk through this with you. And he's helping you walk through this. And together, that power is not going to be just yours or just mine. It's going to be that multiplied times a million. And that's the way we can love one another. How could I love my enemy? Because Jesus asked us to, and when we step into that place, miraculously, he will pull us through on that. And when we stumble, he will pick us up, but he will never let us fall or fall behind. He'll never let us get stuck. This is the reality of our life together. This is the power. And you say, well, gosh, that's nice for people who have a lot of faith. And I say, it doesn't matter about the faith. It matters about the trust that Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. When you come this way, we will go through this. And it'll be amazing. That's the power of the promise. And he said, and so you just don't rely on your ability alone? I will give you a church. I will call people from the four corners of the earth, and they will come and they will gather, and we will praise together, and we will share this burden, and they will walk with you, and you will walk with them, and that's how you will know. Church, why are we here? So that we can be here to walk with another person as Jesus walks with us, and that they can walk with you when you're in your difficult time or in your joy. We come with, what will it mean for me? The promise is there. What it means is to learn to take his yoke and be part of something that is bigger than you. How do our school systems work? Because Christ is in the middle, raising up these teachers to stand in the midst of children and say, it matters that you can read, because our society matters. How does it happen in the world that people can be left up and fed? Because people stand in the gap, bring water. What tends to be missing sometimes is the church. And shame on us. Shame on us. When we fail as a church to step in and to feed and to care and to reach out for those who need us, because it is the very work that Christ is calling us to. And it's like we're dragging and holding on. I don't want to go, Jesus. I don't want to go. But we're hitched. So when we start to go, it makes a difference. These horses, how do they get to pull together? They learn. They're trained. And they have problems, but one of the things that works them through is they simply say, you got to get them out in the field and, you know, cut hay for a week. Just get these horses in hitch and move them through and work with them. They get to know the driver and each other. Because they have problems, some get lazy. Some don't want to pull. When it comes to the competition, it's funny because they're trained, but there's all sorts of stuff that can go wrong. The one horse just doesn't want to pull as much as the other horse. And your team isn't a full team. Are you with me? One's kind of dragging, the other one's trying to pull. They can't pull four times their weight when they're that way. Sometimes the horses get excited because people clap as they start their run and they think that they've already won, and so they stop pulling. Have any of you felt like, hey, I made it, look how good God is, and I'm just a great Christian. I don't need to go and feed and care for and move forward. And you stop in the middle, and then all of a sudden there's this weight that comes on, and you don't know what to do. Or you can't be of help to someone else because you're not working and walking and living with Christ. Sometimes a horse wants to start too fast. They drop what's called the evener bar. As soon as it hits, the horses go. But if you go too fast, you get out of sync. You get tripped up. Anybody thought, I'm going to go off and do whatever because I know what God wants me to do. And then Jesus is like, where are you going? Like, hang on. We got to learn. Got to learn how to listen. There's a lead horse in these teams, and that horse knows what the driver commands that they give. The other horse, not so much. How are you on listening to what God has asked you to do? Have you ever thought that maybe you're the lead horse and Jesus going, hey, well, listen to me a little bit. These are all things that we have to learn. This is what Jesus means. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Follow me. Live a life as I've called you to live. Live in a community that I've given you. Be the community for the world that I've given to them. Practice. But go with the trust that I'll never leave you. And I'm not just walking beside you. If you'll have me, I will pull with you. And you will pull with me. And you'll discover a faith that can move mountains. Did you remember that scripture? You'll come into a place where the storm is raging. Jesus, why did you abandon? Jesus, I didn't abandon you. Storm, stop. Maybe you'll walk on water. Maybe your friend that has died, you'll actually have the grief with you, but you'll be able to say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we can be sad together, but I know, without having to convince you, that we live eternally. And so I can be with you. That's miraculous. Where does that power come from? It comes from learning to take Jesus' yoke and take the walk. Not Push it away, not pretend like it's not real, not being like the Pharisees who would say, just do all these rules and maybe you'll be holy. Jesus says, no, live this life. Come to me. All you who are you weary of anything? Are you weary of chasing? Are you weary of feeling like you're taking it on alone? Are you weary? Come to me. Come to me and find rest. Come to me and find your connection to other brothers and sisters. Come to me and find out how to walk life in the difficult places. Come to me and feel your strength grow. Come to me and find the hope and the joy that is in the midst of all the world. Richard Rohr says, it's amazing because we have this thought, how could my life and my faith ever become so powerful as to change all of the difficult things going on in the world? Do you see the answer? You walk connected to Jesus. You take his yoke on, and together you walk, and it's not just you, but it's you and the Lord, and it's you and the church, and it's you and all the saints, and it's you and the history of the world. It is you and the cosmos and the creation. It is you, and it is the love that is God at work in you, with you, through you. Good news, come to me. And by the way, in case you think you're going to get the bad end of this deal, Jesus says, hey, you can trust me. There are relationships where you have to do everything and somebody demands everything of you and they don't give you anything. That's not who I am. He says, I'm gentle and humble at heart. I want to do this because I love you. I'll get no more than you get. You'll get everything that I get. My joy will be your joy. How will they know you're Christians? By the love you have for one another. Faith is not a heavy burden. Our life together has heaviness to it. But Jesus says, my yoke is good and my burden is light, both in weight, but also it is light. You and I are children of light. We are called to proclaim the gospel in all of the world, in all creation. We bring the news that no one has to go it alone. And we live and learn as a community to be present with each other, not because we're great people, but because we're yoked with Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. As we sing our closing hymn this morning, just a closer walk with thee. There are some of you, some of us, maybe all of us at some point, that we are walking through life and we know Jesus is nearby. And ask comforting, Jesus, I'm glad you're here, but you know what? When this bad thing happened, it's heavy, you don't know, I'm just going to do it. That's a choice. But a better choice is to walk yoked together so that you're accomplishing and moving together, so that you're not pulling by yourself, so that you're learning how to pull together, walk through life, to be in God's presence, working in the midst of it, connected. That's the kind of walk. So just a closer walk with thee. Could there be a more powerful walk in your life, in every aspect of your life, in every relationship, in every bit of your vocation, in every bit of your faith, in every bit of your connection to community, in all of your worry and anxiety? Could there be anything more powerful in all the world than to know if you'll have him, you will walk in that power forever and ever? Come to me. Walk this closer walk. Let us sing and rejoice together. Let's stay. Sing number 2158. Go in the peace that is, you've taken Jesus' yoke and you learn from him. Indeed, you will find rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden, and all of our burdens in him are light. Go in peace. Amen.